This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
So, Gerard, we are discussing all different things to look at, and obviously there's been a name in the media recently, and the title of this is "The Honor System is Rotten to the Core and It's Time to Ditch It." And there was one individual, I'll bring up the individual. There he is, Tony Blair, petition to block knighthood, top 700,000. So let's start with Blair. What's this all about, Gerard?
Well, this is I thought we'd start with this because this is everybody's favorite here. Because he's not just got a knighthood, he's got the Order of the Garter. And I'm sure most of our viewers will be aware, but we'll just recap. The Order of the Garter goes back to 1348. It was created by King Edward III, and he was very keen on chivalry and King Arthur and the legends of King Arthur. In fact, he had a round table made, which you can now see in Winchester, enormous round table. And I think that's got 25 seats, if I remember correctly. It's on the wall, but it looks like an enormous dartboard. Yeah. But of course, he had this made because he was very keen on this and engendering a chivalric code, because he was taking his knights off anyway to try and conquer France. And he created this. And of course, it's always been a top award in knighthood. You know, a knighthood is a knighthood, but there's orders of the Bath, there's orders of the Garter. And the Order of the Garter is the top one, really. It's limited, I think, to 25. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that's the monarch and 24 others. Mm-hmm. And I've had a look through the current holders of that, and it's got dukes, vice counts, field marshals, air vice marshals, heads of this, former heads of this, former heads of that. Mm-hmm. And right at the bottom, it's got Tony Blair. It's as though the aristocracy and the bigwigs had bought themselves the most expensive pair of shoes they can, walked out of the shop and stood in a pile of dog's muck. That's what. But, you know, he's got this. And I thought, well, forgetting a knighthood, what's the criteria? And I was surprised at how wide-ranging it is. And it says knighthoods are awarded for exceptional achievement in any activity. Any activity, that's it. So I thought, well, actually, you know, he's earned it because he's been very successful. He's had exceptional achievement in certain activities. He was prime minister. He won three elections. He was prime minister three times. He sold his country down the river consistently throughout all of that. In the European Union, you know, he bulldozed through the Lisbon Treaty. Even though his party had promised a referendum on it, it was bulldozed through. I'm not sure if he was actually PM when it went through its final stages. It might have been Brown. But anyway, it went through. There's a book here called Taking Liberties. It's a very thick book, actually, paperback, but it goes through all the civil liberties that Blair helped to destroy while he was prime minister and did his bit for turning us into a police state, where you can now be arrested for reading out the names of the war dead on the cenotaph. A young lady was arrested for that under the Criminal Police Act, I think, whatever it was called. And she got a criminal conviction because for doing that during a demonstration, courtesy of Blair, and so much else courtesy of Blair. And, of course, he is now the world's leading mouthpiece, political mouthpiece, for the globalists and the oligarchs and the World Economic Forum, etc. So for some reason that we can't fathom, Her Majesty the Queen has seen fit to give it to him. Now, she hasn't normally, when if you're a prime minister, you can expect to get a knighthood when you retire. And I think everybody's had one, except from Mrs. May onwards. It's been Cameron hasn't had one either. So I believe she hasn't awarded any to former prime ministers for the last 14 years. So suddenly she gives one to Blair, and people are surmising, oh, this is to break the lockjam so that she can give them to the others. Well, she could have done that any time in the last 14 years. Mm. And why not give it to the others and not give it to him? Because I understand that she's not too keen on him anyway. And of course, he lied to her and he lied to Parliament for taking us into the Iraq War. And, you know, some people say he should be in the International Court of the Hague. I'm not too keen on that because I think it's a fairly political court. But I think that he should be tried for treason, certainly for lying to the monarch and lying to Parliament. You know, in the past, people lost their heads for less than that. And in fact, David Starkey was doing a talk a week or two ago I was listening to, and he said the problem with politics now and the reason you've got such bad politicians and bad decisions made is because there are no penalties. Mm. People only get rewards and they're shuffled off upstairs. Well, Blair hasn't done that. And remember that he was the only former prime minister that didn't take a seat in the House of Lords. They all do that normally, but he didn't want it. And, of course, the reason he didn't want it is they're supposed to declare their financial interests. Because you've got a man here who was a not very successful barrister who became an MP, which, although the salary's gone up markedly in the last few years, was never a great salary, became went straight into being prime minister from being a spokesman for the opposition. I think they get a bit more money. But the prime minister's salary, what's that about? I'm not sure, but I think it's something like 140,000, something like that. This is not big money in the commercial world or the world that he likes to move in. And yet he has become a multi-millionaire. I mean, he has fantastic business acumen that he didn't seem to possess before he became a politician. But now he's become a multi-millionaire and he's been awarded this highest award. Former Knights of the Bath, Knights of the Garter, includes Sir Winston Churchill. And it has always consisted of, as I say, members of the aristocracy, the king's family, and really high achiever. Even Admiral Lord Nelson didn't live long enough to get a Knight of the Garter. He got a Knight of the Bath. He might have got one had he survived Trafalgar, but anyway, he didn't. But Blair's got one. So why? Okay, let me say something controversial. You know I'm normally averse to doing that, but it wouldn't surprise me if the people that actually run the world, you know, the international oligarchs and the globalists, didn't send a message to the Queen and say, we want Tony to get this award. So, because there's a lot of people around the world that are being impressed by this, by being a knight, and we need him as our mouthpiece. So you give him the knighthood and we'll make sure that Prince Andrew doesn't go to prison.
Yeah.
You know, because being suspicious-minded, I'm trying to think of reasons why she would do something like this. And of course, don't forget that we have an extradition treaty with the US, which is almost, not quite, but almost as bad as the European arrest warrant was, where under the European arrest warrant, they didn't have to provide any evidence. They just had to say they were arresting, they wanted to deport somebody for whatever crime it was, one of 32 boxes that they could tick. No evidence need to be presented. And some of those things weren't even crimes in the UK, like being corrupt. Well, you could say that the entire, not the entire, I'll rephrase that, large sections of the Houses of Parliament, Commons and Lords are corrupt. But it isn't a crime unless you do something illegal. You could be extradited. Under the American system, I think they do present evidence, but the court can't reject it anyway. So the court's allowed to see the evidence, but they're not allowed to say, no, we can't extradite somebody. So anybody could be hauled off to the USA on an American arrest warrant. And I believe that would include Prince Andrew because he's not a diplomat. He won't have diplomatic immunity. The Queen has immunity, but I'm not sure that the Duke of York would have it. So being suspicious-minded, I was trying to think of a reason why Her Majesty would want to give this loathsome creature one of the highest honours in the book. And, of course, it besmirches it. And I'm wondering what all the other people who got it, who actually have been field marshals or air vice marshals or head of this, that, or the other public service and dukes and vice counts are looking at that and thinking, yeah, we've got this little creep going to dress up and come with us the next time we have to hold one of our functions.
Well, Jared, I've got lots of questions, but we'll not delve deeper into Blair. That may be a very depressing chat. But generally about the honours system. Do you want to just touch on maybe how it works? Because people see it just simply as recognition to people for doing good things, but it seems to be a lot more complicated and convoluted than that.
Yeah, it is. And of course, like everything else in our country, it's evolved over hundreds of years. So you've got knighthoods, which we've touched on. you've also got other honours which are awarded to people, and some of these go back not that far, actually. So first of all, how does it work? How does somebody get an honour? Because we've got some international viewers, so they may not be familiar with it, because every country will have honours and medals and awards. We know that. So we'll have a quick run through how ours works. Well, there is a committee. Well, there is a department, actually. It's let me try and remember what it's called. It's a department attached to the Cabinet Office that actually makes the Honours and Appointments Secretariat. There we are, which is appointed to a part of the Cabinet Office, and they will have a committee which will decide to make recommendations to the Queen, and they have a vet. This is a laughable bit. They have a vetting procedure to make sure people have merit and probity in order to go forward. That none doesn't seem to work very well. And then they will make these recommendations to the Queen. And the Queen, of course, has the ability to refuse them, especially knighthoods, which are her personal gift.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's how it works. So they will make these recommendations. You can actually now, of course, you can actually make recommendations. There's a website, government website. And if anybody wants to know about this in more detail, just Google in the honours system in the UK and you can see the government website, which will tell you how it works. And you can make a recommendation for somebody. So what are the different orders? So if we work through them, you've got orders for public service, which are currently called the Queen's Medal. And you've got Queen's Medals for the police force, the fire service, the ambulance service, and various other public services. So they can be awarded a medal for their contribution. And I think that's a good thing because you're recognising people who are not in business, they're not making millions of pounds, but they give public service, and it's quite right that you have an award system and an honours system for those people. And I think you have to separate out those two things and the political side of it, and we'll come on to that later, I think. But if we look at the orders themselves, this is the next one, the Companions of Honour, and this is limited to 65. I'm not quite sure when this was created, but past members of that have included Sir Winston Churchill. As you can imagine, after his contribution in politics and in the Second World War, he quite rightly got one. But it now also includes, I was surprised to see, J.K. Rowling and Sir David Attenborough, who's already a knight. And I don't worry about the poor old J.K. Rowling, because she has offended against political correctness and said that men who pretend to be women are not women, or something. I'm sure she was much more diplomatic than me, but she's now... She's now been cancelled from her own creation. It's like discovering some, transgender quote in Shakespeare and then deciding that you have to remove Shakespeare's name from all his plays every time they're performed.
But Jared, it's crazy because we live in today's... But in today's culture and society, kids think they have a right to things in society. And all those actors who made it huge in those films, like Daniel Radcliffe or all the others, actually they're now turning on the person who gave them that opportunity. It's horrendous state of affairs when they should be thanking her and yet they're getting rid of her.
I know, it's like saying, well, somebody creates, my son used to read, what was it called? Harry Potter. And when he was young, I took him to see the films. It isn't something I would personally bother to read, but that's her achievement. She's made a lot of money out of it. Yeah. And now, because she said something that's politically incorrect in some quarters, I'm perfectly sane in every other quarter of the country, she is now deplatformed from her own creation. This is how mad, this is French Revolution, Russian Revolution stuff that we're living through now.
Yeah.
History repeats itself, but not in the same way. Anyway, so that's your Companions of Honour. And I feel sorry for the Queen if she has to hobnob with 65 people of that ilk. Although I've got nothing against J.K. Rowling or Sir David Attenborough. Sir David Attenborough used to do lots of good programmes when I was a kid. But, of course, now he's become a climate change fanatic like so many other people. Anyway, then we move on to knighthoods, which, of course, go right back in history. It was created during the feudal system because knights were the armed elite of the country, and they owed service to the king. They were awarded land, and in return for the land, then they would pledge their allegiance and their service in the field of battle. which they would have a certain amount of time that they'd have to give. So it was always for contributions and service to the monarch. And this is why it's in the monarch's gift. But now, of course, we don't have that kind of thing anymore. There will be people in the armed forces who get knighthoods, quite rightly, after their service. But now you've got people like Sir Mick Jagger and Sir Elton John. I'm a Rolling Stones fan. When I was young, I've got all their early albums, but Sir Mick Jagger and Sir Elton John, you know, they've had very successful careers. They have made lots of money. Mm. Why do you make them a knight? Give them a knighthood. Yeah. And again, you've got this racing driver whose name I can't think of at the moment. You'll probably remember it. Who's just got one.
Lewis Hamilton.
That's right. Who races a car around the track very fast. And made lots of money out of that. And gets one. Well, as it says, as the criteria is for achievement in any field. So maybe that explains why Sir Jimmy Savile got one for his contribution in the field of paedophilia and necrophilia.
So and Lord Ahmed recently.
Yeah. Well, he was in the House of Lords, but he's resigned. I don't think he was made a knight, was he? So I don't think the Queen.
No, he wasn't. No, so that's another part of the honour system.
Nice. Anyway, so now we move on to the other ones, which I find greatly amusing because they all have the word empire in them.
Yeah.
We've got the CBE, Commander of the Order of the British Empire, created by George V in World War I, for a contribution to the national cause at home. Good idea. Lots of people in the war effort who weren't actually in the front line but were doing a good job. So he created the Commander of the Order of the British Empire. And, of course, remember, in those days, we had an empire. The OBE, Officer of the Order of the British Empire, for making an impact in their line of work. Well, that covers another wide area, doesn't it? What does an impact mean? You could be the most incompetent person in your organisation, but you certainly make an impact. In which case, does that entitle you to an OBE? Anyway, the MBE, Member of the Order of the British Empire, from making a positive impact in their line of work. And that's lower than an OBE. So that narrows it down. You've got to make a positive impact. And, for example, I saw that somebody who got one who I've only seen in passing because I'm not a pop music fan anymore, Ed Sheeran, in 2017. Well, he's probably a very nice bloke. He writes catchy songs that people buy. But he's got an MBE. For making a positive impact, okay? And I think a lot of these awards are in order, as we see now, the establishment wants to be relevant to people who couldn't care less about them and certainly couldn't care less about the empire, but the award things to their people that they like and who are popular with them. And then the last one, we've got the British Empire Medal, created in 1917 for meritorious actions by civilians and military personnel. This apparently was abolished in 1993 and brought back by Cameron in about 2013, I think, for community volunteers. So there's nothing wrong with the idea of rewarding people who've done something locally, selflessly. Mm. Very often they're volunteers. That's great. But it's got this word empire. I mean, we haven't had an empire since I was a boy. Probably since I was born. You know, Harold Wilson was talking about the winds of change, you know, probably about the time I was born. And we haven't had an empire. The very people who get these, I can bet your life would be 99% absolutely tell you how evil the empire was and despise it. I'll give you two little stories on that, if I may. I can't remember, I've been trying to remember her name, but back years and years ago, I used to watch Question Time when Robin Day was the chairman. Your older viewers will remember who Robin Day was. And there was some dreadful Labour front bencher on there, some woman. The name will come to me when we finish broadcasting.
That doesn't narrow it down, Gerard.
No. And she got awarded, I think it was an OBE or an MBE, and a member of the audience, when the question time came around, said, how can you justify taking this award when you're totally against the empire? And, you don't believe in it, you don't like it, and you condemn it. And, of course, he got shut down by Robin Day. Said, we can't ask personal questions of the members on the panel. Oh, really? Why not? They're public elected officials. Why can't they be asked questions? Perfectly reasonable questions. The second one, which always made me laugh, we had a Liberal Democrat MP called Graham Watson, who was awarded a knighthood and became Sir Graham Watson. The only problem with that was that he was a member of the Republican Association, or it wasn't a party, but the Republican movement, who wanted to abolish the monarchy. But when he was offered a knighthood, he accepted it. And I wonder if the Queen's got a sense of humour sometimes, you know. She probably doesn't have much scope for expressing it, but she might have done there. And, of course, his reason for accepting this, even though he was an avowed Republican, wasn't for himself. Oh, no. It was in recognition for all the efforts of all the people in the Liberal Democratic Party who had helped him to achieve what he'd achieved, you know, in becoming an MEP and selling his country down the river in the European Union. But I thought it was very, very selfless of him to give up his principles, accept this hated award of a knighthood from Her Majesty the Queen, somebody he'd like to abolish, just for the sake of all those people who'd helped him. You know, some people are really, really selfless. And you have to, you know, cheers to him now in his retirement, which I'm glad to say that UKIP contributed to the retirement. Well, didn't contribute to it. It achieved the retirement of all MEPs, British MEPs.
Jared, you started off, and in the middle of it, you talked about awards for individuals, and for, I think many of the viewers will think of the awards for military, Victoria Cross or Military Cross or Distinguished Flying Cross or many others. And you think of two world wars for those who put their lives on the line, or for Falklands or something else, not for Tony Blair's wars. But obviously the system has become corrupted over time from when it was maybe partially a good idea to recognize service to the nation. So tell us about, how that corruption has come in.
Right. Well, I think, you know, we mustn't be starry-eyed. The political system's always been corrupt. For example, was it the first prime minister, was it Walpole, I think, who actually had big trouble over corruption because he was selling favours and whatever and made money out of it. But, of course, without money, the political system doesn't work. And the one thing that politicians and political parties are always short of is money. So we can hardly be surprised if corruption creeps in. It was my biggest problem when I was leader of UKIP. And, of course, I had to do it all legally. But it was a big problem. But anyway, so how has the corruption occurred? Well, I think you're always going to have corruption in any political system, but you can live with it when those politicians are actually, or the majority of them, are working for their own country and furthering their own country's interests. When we had a House of Lords that was hereditary, okay, I mean, that was, again, that's an antiquated idea which we inherited, but at least you had the feeling that most of those people were actually patriotic. I'm sure a lot of them weren't, but you had that feeling. And, of course, that all went when gradually they introduced life peers, and then Blair got rid of the he reduced it to, I think, a rump of 90, didn't he, out of the – there's nearly 1,000 peers. Most of them don't turn up. Is it 800 or 900?
Yeah, they're 850 or 870, but
you have the privilege of working for one of the honest, decent and patriotic – Lord Pearson of Rannoch, and I've been in there and watched him speak, and by God, is he in a minority in that necropolis of political deadbeats and old dozers.
Exactly, and he's gone from one topic, Europe, onto a much more diverse one, which is on Islam. So he's gone from the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right, quite right on that, and he does a marvellous job. And people can see him now on Getter. None of us were last on Twitter. I came off before they could kick me off. But anyway, just to go back to that, where the corruption is most obvious is in knighthoods and peerages, where basically they're bought. I mean, some of them are awarded, and you get them awarded to showbiz people and people, you know, for all kinds of reasons, because the people that hand these out on the committee think, oh, we must appeal to the general population, so we'll give one to somebody who's made their name in show business or whatever, and they get them. But then most of them are given in return for political service or money. If you're a backbencher who spends your entire career never getting very far but always doing what the party wants and serving the party's needs, irrespective of right or wrong, then you might get it into the House of Lords. And there's quite a few of them in there, as you'll be well aware. And, of course, I saw a figure today. I was looking up, doing a bit of research. Apparently, positions in the House of Lords have been given to the last 16 Tory chairmen.
Wow.
I think it's 16, but anyway, a large number in recent years. Now, there's a good reason for that, because he's a very important person in the party. You need them to keep order in a political party, and by God, that's difficult, I can tell you. And the second thing is they're very often responsible for organising fundraising. So they get rewarded with a seat in the House of Lords, although some of them, we now find, are given sizable donations. Now, I saw reports in the paper, if I can't find a bit of paper now, but I think the most recent controversy, was one of the most recent Tory party chairmen, a chap called Peter Cruddas, who is supposed to give them £3+ million in donations to the Tory party, and then found himself in the House of Lords. Actually, when I read up on Peter Cruddas, I thought, actually, he's the kind of person you do want in the House of Lords. Although he's a Tory and I'm not a Tory or sympathetic to the Tories, he actually came from a poor working class background, made himself successful, then he created some kind of online business, order business, mail order or something like that, and made himself a multi-millionaire, and eventually sold his share, 10% of his share, for multi-million pounds. Great. Somebody who's successful, who comes from an ordinary background, who's successful, if they end up in the House of Lords, that's great. You want people like that. And I'll say something about that at the end. But he made these sizable donations, and some of them are not always as meritocracy as he is, who buy their way into the House of Lords or to get a knighthood. I mean, it doesn't just happen in the Tory party, it happens in the Labour party. You know, you give a sizable donation, more than one sizable donation, then you're headed in the right direction for the House of Lords. And these scandals go back right to the, you know, oh, well, forever. But I mean, I think Lloyd George was actually selling them, wasn't he? He got into big trouble. Well, he didn't get into big trouble, but he's quite good at it. He sold positions in the House of Lords. Now, do you want a government system, and they are part of the lawmaking system, where you've sold those positions to people for money? I'm not sure that's a good idea. And, of course, under Wilson, you had the Lord Kagan scandal. You're far too young to remember that. I used to read all this stuff in the paper when I was a kid. I gave up reading papers a few years ago. But no, he got into, because he was a big friend of Harold Wilson, and I think donated to the party, and then turned out that he was robbing money out of his own company, and he went to prison.
Well, I've read about Lloyd George, not that I remembered from the 1920s, but yeah, he raised money for himself by selling peerages. So good business, I guess.
Well, I had many ideas, you know, when I was UKIP leader, and one of them was to actually print certificates for donors redeemable against a knighthood or a peerage. You know, so if they gave a certain amount of money, we'd give them a certificate and said, if we ever form the government, you'll get a knighthood and a peerage. Of course, it's tongue-in-cheek, and I wasn't sure if, you know, the public mood could get the joke. So we never actually did it, but it would have been good for a laugh, I think. And we could have invented an entirely new title, you know, Lord of the Manor of whatever street you happen to live in or something, and you can
just thinking Order of the Baton, that will work well.
But that idea never came to fruition. I like Churchill, you know, they said he had 10 ideas a day, only one of them was any good, but he didn't know which one it was. Well, I didn't quite beat that record, but that was one of my ideas anyway.
I want to move on to what your thoughts are going forward, but just one comment here. Brian Houston says, any views on Sir Keir Starmer's knighthood? And obviously Sir Keir Starmer, back before, when he kind of had a kind of job, when he didn't just sit in his hands, it was Director of Public Prosecution Service and Head of the Crown Probation Service. And I believe he got an honour in 2014, I think it was.
Yes, he got a knighthood.
But he got my favourite honour. My favourite honour is Commander of the Order of the Bath. Commander of the Order of the Bath. I'm not sure how you command a bath, but anyway.
Well, you see, this is again. Bath. These go back. Sorry, Peter. These go back to the reign of, I think, of Henry IV.
Mm.
And before a knight became a knight, he had a vigil, all night vigil, and they had to have a bath, because don't forget, in those days, people didn't have a bath every day or a shower every day. You know, they might have one once a year, whether they needed it or not. There were no hot water taps or anything. So the knight would have to have a bath to purify them in order to, they put on their gown or whatever, and they would have a vigil overnight in the church or the cathedral, and then the king would knight them the next day. So that's where that comes from. So they don't have to command a bath. But there we are.
If that ever comes up in a pub quiz, then yeah, I challenge the viewers to remember that.
Sorry, where were we? So that's the pure buying and selling of honours, you know, seats in the House of Lords and peerages.
I was thinking, Jared, obviously we've looked at the issues with it. Obviously, when you were leader of UKIP, you had to come up with solutions. So I'm wondering what marvelous solutions you have to reform this.
I have got one, actually. But can I just, before we go on that, that's one aspect of corruption. The other one is where you've got criminals, convicted criminals, sitting in the House of Lords.
Yeah.
And don't forget what the function of the House of Lords is. It is to scrutinise legislation, amend it, and send it back to the Commons. So they have an important role in the lawmaking process. Now, there are a number of people in there who have been convicted of expenses fraud, for example.
Mm.
And I tried to find out how many there are sitting in there who got convictions. And you'd be surprised how difficult it is. I've gone on the internet and I followed up a couple of freedom of information requests that people have done. And they've written to the House of Lords, said, how many people have you got in here with criminal convictions? And they get replies saying, when people are in prison, they can't actually vote, so nothing to worry about. And they write back and say, well, we're not asking that question. We were asking how many people you've got in there who've got criminal convictions. Oh, we don't keep that kind of information. So they don't know. They're trying to tell you that they don't know how many people. Well, I can't think of the names off the top of my head, but I know they've got three or four in there who were done for expenses fraud. Sometimes they have to give the money back. Sometimes they've gone to prison. I know there was one in Essex, a lord from Essex, who actually went to prison. Now, whether he's not in the House of Lords anymore, I'm not sure, because Lord Archer is the most famous case.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure lots of your viewers will know and remember. And, of course, Lord Archer won a famous libel case back in 1987. It was his words against the common prostitute. Mm. And the jury found in favour of him. He got awarded £500,000 in damages from a newspaper that had alleged that he'd had a liaison with this lady. I think it was in 2000, then fresh evidence was found to find that he had committed perjury. So it all went back to court. The verdict was overturned. He was found guilty of perjury. The judge said it was one of the most blatant and worst cases of perjury that he had ever seen. And Lord Archer went to prison, got a four-year sentence. But, of course, he didn't do 4 years because nobody ever does their sentence these days. And this is back in 2001 when he got convicted. And he went to prison, I think, for 2 years. And, of course, he came out and went straight back into the House of Lords.
Mm.
Now, this is someone who I can remember when the Maastricht Treaty, the Treaty on European Union, was going through, appearing on breakfast television and, you know, flying the flag for his party for John Major and saying, oh, we must vote for this. It's for best for the country and all the rest of it. And there he was. Now he's back in the House of Lords. And I did see that his last vote that I could find was in 2017. And he was voting against the bill to withdraw from the European Union when it was going through Parliament.
Mm.
But somebody who is a convicted perjurer and a liar, and the word of a common prostitute is much sounder than his, is still in the political system and allowed to make laws over us. So there is something rotten in the state of the House of Lords, and it all has to be reformed.
Well, just touching on before we go on to the other part, Lord Ahmed, of course, he was kicked out of the House of Lords. He was done, I think, for dangerous driving whenever someone died, whenever he was texting. But that was accepted. You've just killed someone. That's no problem there. But then the latest one where he's found guilty of attempted rape. I'll not go into the details. But the weird thing is with him, so he was expelled from the Lords. but he retains his title. So he remains Baron Ahmed of Rotherham. So he keeps his title. He does not strip of that title, no matter what he's done.
Well, you leave me speechless. I knew that he'd, I thought that he'd resigned his before they could kick him out, which may be the case because they were going to kick him out anyway. But how can you rely? Because that's an honour. He can put that on his notepaper. And if he ever gets out of prison, it'll get him a good seat in a restaurant or impress people abroad who won't necessarily be. No, these are given by the monarch and they should be taken away by the monarch for that kind of criminality. You know, anybody can make mistakes and have a car accident. Okay. But that's different. And one thing that interested me about that case is the report that I read, I think it was yesterday that came up, the guilty verdict came up in the paper that I looked at it online. I don't buy newspapers. It didn't say anything about who the victims were.
Mm.
Now, were these victims from his, fellow Islamic community? Or were, like so many of these victims, young white girls? And I think one was a boy as well.
Yeah.
Because you can bet your life that if that was a white peer who was found to sexually have abused a black or an Asian person, that would be screened as a racist crime, as well as being the crime that it already was. It would be screened from the rooftops that this was a racist crime.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I don't want to know anything about the victims. If they've got anonymity, they've had enough to live through. But I would like to know what the background is, if there's a bit more to this, and whether this is part of a bigger overall problem that is being exposed by very, very few people, one of them being Tommy Robinson, of course.
And these are very young. So the boy was 11. And, of course, it wasn't just Lord Ahmed, but it was also his brothers. So it was a little family, a family thing for the afternoon they were all involved in.
Well, was it somebody within their circle? Or was it somebody completely outside of their circle? I think it'd be interesting to know. But certainly he should have his peerage taken away and his title taken away.
Exactly. But so on to reform then, Gerard. What bright ideas have you got for fixing the system?
One of my specialities when I was in UKIP was spending a lot of time writing policies that I knew would never, ever be adopted. So I've done that again this afternoon just for you and elaborated on some of the ideas I already had. My ideas never adopted because they're common sense. They would clean out the stable and nobody wants to do that. But never mind, let's do it. First of all, there should be an honour system and there should be a strict, differentiation between public service, personal achievement and political. And it's quite right, as I said earlier, there are medals, the Queen's Medal for, the public services, the military, the fire service, the police, the ambulance service. I don't know if someone's running spends their life running the sewage service. There must be an unpleasant job at times. Yeah, they do that. They don't probably get paid vast amounts of money. Give them an award and a recognition. People are doing voluntary work in any particular location, putting themselves out for everybody consistently over a period of time. We all know that there are people who do that. Then give them an award. They deserve it, and it's a bit of recognition. So you have the public service awards. Then you've got public achievement, where you've got knighthoods given to pop stars and racing drivers. Well, people have already become rich, achieved fantastic lifestyles. They're successful at what they do. Should they actually get an award? Well, I wouldn't give them a knighthood. I would say, okay, give them a public achievement award because they've done something that has contributed to the cultural life of the country or the prosperity of the country. So if they've been really successful in business and they've created lots of jobs in the UK, paid lots of tax over the years and employed people who've paid tax, then give them an award, public service award. But of course you'd have to rename all these, wouldn't you? Because I think one of the reasons it's still called the OBE and the MBE is because they don't know what to replace it with. The empire went a long time ago, as I've said to you, and I enjoy saying it over and over again. The very people who accept these awards would hate the empire anyway, but they don't mind accepting the award. Well, you'd have to call it something else, and that's a bit tricky, isn't it? Because do you call it the British Awards? Well, what happens if the Scottish elect the Scottish National Party another time, and there's a referendum, and they leave? Well, personally, I think that if they do elect the Scottish National Party again The rest of the UK should have a referendum on deciding whether we want them to leave the union or not. You know, I don't see why they should get a vote on saying whether they want us to leave or not. We should also have a say in it, because if you keep electing the Scottish National Party, well, then get on with it. You know, don't come complaining to us about it. And also, the English taxpayer subsidises Scotland, it subsidises Wales. And I'm sorry, Peter, but we also subsidise Northern Ireland. So why would you want to subsidise people that do nothing but slag you off anyway? Which, of course, I'm not saying all the Scottish people do that, but certainly the Scottish National Party does. So I would say that if they vote Scottish National Party again, if that's the next government in Scotland, then, yeah, time for them to leave the United Kingdom and let them go on with it. So you'd have to rename these honours something. And I think maybe you could say the Monarch's Award for this or that. Because if you say the Queen, well, what happens when a Queen passes on and we have a King? You know, so give it another name which is going to encompass whatever developments there are in the future. So have an award for those people. Now, what about knighthoods? And that takes us on to knighthoods and peerages. Well, knighthoods should be for genuine service to the country. So therefore, people who've achieved something in the national interest. For example, heads of, or not just heads, but people who've distinguished themselves in the armed forces, for example, or the diplomatic service. Although I suppose most of them are in the business of selling us down the river anyway, but never mind. I'm envisaging a country where we actually have people who are interested in our national interest. But you have awards for those kind of people. Sorry, a knighthood for those kinds of people. And maybe in other circumstances, you give knighthoods to people, but that should be very strictly regulated. You can't buy them, you get them for public service. That takes us on to the House of Lords. Now, what do you do with the House of Lords? Well, Blair completely screwed it up, like he screwed up everything he touched. And you've now got something. We went from, you know, the hereditary House of Lords plus life peers to now where it's just, you know, any yes man, anybody that can buy one gets put in there, and the whole thing's a mess. And you've got 800 or 900 of the people in there now getting 300 quid a day for turning up. Most of them don't turn up anyway, otherwise probably bankrupt the country. But how would you sort that out? Well, I'll tell you, I had an idea for this a long time ago, which was, first of all, you have to clearly define what the purpose of the House of Lords is. And it is there to scrutinise legislation, amend legislation, and then send it back to the Commons. So clearly define what its purpose is. Do you want an elected House of Commons? I think not, because then you'd have the same situation we've got in the rest of politics, whereby you get big money can get people elected. The media now is very influential in who exists in politics, never mind who gets elected. You have two political parties that are essentially the same. Anybody that comes up on the outside is going to be destroyed by the media, which we've seen that with UKIP and anybody else that tries to get anywhere. So that doesn't work. So what will you do? Well, what I'd do is, first of all, you decide how many seats you want. So you hit on a figure. Let's say it's 200 to 300, maybe 200. You say that we'll reserve a proportion of those seats, which will be appointees. Let's say, for the sake of argument, 25%. And you would give those to people who actually know how society runs. So you give them to the heads of the armed, retired heads and important people in the armed services, in the health service, in the fire service, in the police, in the Coast Guard, people who know how things are supposed to run because they've actually had to run things. And then the other 75%, you would let the public have them by means of a lottery. So if you want to be in the second house, whatever you want to call it, the House of Lords, the Senate, whatever name you come up with, you go and buy a lottery. I wouldn't mind sitting in there and getting a certain amount of salary and allowances. I'll buy a lottery ticket because then it would not be party political, so you wouldn't know where the people are coming from. It could be some Tory from the Shires or somebody who's just had their kids abused up in the north of England and got no joy from the police or the legal system. They could sit in the House of Lords because they're the people that actually pay for the policies that the politicians devise for us. And we all know that there's a massive disconnect between the political class and ordinary people now. Yeah. You can see that. So that's a way of reconnecting people, because they would be the people. First of all, if they sit there in a debate on something, you'd have the people who've actually run things talking about how things work, you'd have the people who actually have to pay to make them work listening to that and then voting like a jury, to endorse or amend and send this legislation back to the House of Commons. I think it's a brilliant idea, and it's so brilliant it will never be done.
Well, it certainly needs change, Jared, and those ideas are certainly ones that really should be aired publicly and discussed. But you're right, the system doesn't want to change.
If anybody's got any good ideas, don't send them to me. Send them to Hearts of Oak, and then you can filter them, and then we can even do a little slot on that, the best ideas that people came up with.
We can. I mean, yeah, people can drop us an email, info@heartsofoak, or drop comments down the side. And I see that, Gerard, just to give you a bigger smile, looking at the view, obviously we're streaming on Getter for the first time.
Yeah.
Getter, by the way, which is number one on the iTunes download chart and number two on Google Play downloads at the moment. So above everything else. And looking at this, Gerard, as we've been chatting, you have 4,400 viewers on Getter.
You're kidding me, because I had 3,700 when I came on air.
But no, as in viewers,
oh,
as
sorry.
In people watching this.
Yeah.
So you've had 4,400 pairs of eyes watching you and pairs of ears listening to you. So that is very interesting, quite exciting. And it shows where Getter is going, that after Joe Rogan and after so many people have joined, Alex Jones, that it's really taken off really since last weekend.
Yeah.
So, and it's great, Jared, that we're able to stream on Getter. And it's great that you're the first guest that we've had on to stream. So it's been wonderful. And thank you so much, Gerard, for that. As it's really been in the news, obviously, with Blair. So it's a perfect opportunity to try and unpack it, especially for those abroad who don't get it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're laughing about it, but it just shows you how low this country has sunk. Yeah. A creature like Blair. First of all, it's a national disgrace that he was ever prime minister. Who sold his country down the river politically and personally for money. You know, how does someone like him become a multi-millionaire? It's easy to answer that one. He took the country into war with the Americans, and I'm sure that the Americans said to him, you'd stick by us, Tony, you send your people into war, and we will look after you for the rest of your life. And now he's a multimillionaire. It doesn't matter that people were killed, blinded, maimed in the British Armed Services. It doesn't matter how many civilians were killed in Iraq. He couldn't give a toss. You can see, though, that he has a look of a haunted man, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's not going to say he's not going to plead guilty and give any money back, but he still looks haunted to me. You want to answer any of these questions that are coming up? Well, they're quite interesting, some of them.
Well, yeah, pull some in.
We've got 5 minutes, haven't we, Peter?
Yeah.
Well, it's marvellous that we've got 4,000 people watching. So either I'm going to get a lot more followers or a lot of hate mail. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
One or the other. I'm looking. There are lots of comments down the side. Less so. RCW says destabilizing countries is very profitable. Well, it is. I mean, all the money that's come in through arms companies and rebuilding the country after you flatten it, it is very profitable. And yeah, Blair was the Middle East envoy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's, as I said when I was saying about why the Queen's done this, he is one of the global mouthpieces for the World Economic Forum, the International Monetary Fund, the people who run the world now. And, you know, we can do lots of talks about that, Peter. We have spoken about this before, but I mean, these are the people who are engineering what is happening to us now.
Yeah.
The people are being driven into a state of fear, and it's working. We've got mass hysteria. Mm. Yeah, the majority of people now, you see them out wearing their masks and getting their vaccines. Even people who don't want to take the vaccine, you sit and talk to them and tell them all of the problems that there are with it, and they'll agree with you. Yeah, I know. Oh, but you're going to have it. Yeah, why? Oh, because I need to go on holiday.
I mean, you
do wonder, and this is like mass hypnosis, and we can talk about that. And, of course, this morning I put out a tweet. I don't know what you call it, a posting anyway on Getter, talking about what they intend to do with the world's banking system and the digital currencies, the central bank digital currencies. Mm. I watched a very good talk this morning by an American called George Gammon, that you really want to invite on your show if you can get him. He's done other people's show, and he does brilliant expositions of what's happening and how it's happening. You know, we are being herded into a world tyrannical system.
Mm.
And to do that, you've got to frighten the wits out of people first. And they're succeeding. I mean, it's there is a sizable amount of people who don't buy these messages. But unfortunately, they have not got avenues to any mass media.
Exactly.
Apart from social media, which is why it's important we do things like this. And, of course, you're getting more people coming on board with this who've got a big voice, like Joe Rogan and Dr. Malone.
Yeah.
And other people, you know. Unfortunately, the people who are doing this are in control of all the major levers of power and influence.
Yeah.
So all we can do is use what's at our disposal. And you know, people are doing that, thank goodness, and talking about this.
Jared, I think we'll bring it in to land. I'm looking, thank you to the 4,900 viewers on Getter. We will be streaming on Getter every time.
If Blair can be awarded a knighthood, Gerard should be awarded a sainthood. Well, that won't happen because the Pope would have to do that. And we all know he's a globalist anyway and a communist. But he could make me a cardinal, because did you know that you don't have to be a priest to be made a cardinal? There's another interesting fact.
No, you could be a cardinal. Well, yeah. I thought St. Baton would be lovely, but you could go for a cardinal.
Yeah, well, I don't think God would wear that one, I don't think.
We could discuss it, don't worry. You could have that conversation this evening and let us know what God came back to you on. What he said.
No, you have to work three miracles to get that.
Oh, we could, we could find one. You resurrected UKIP. There's one.
Yeah, but not for very long. It would have been a miracle if I could have won the European elections and beaten back the negative propaganda from the mainstream media.
I know.
But that didn't happen.
Non-stop. But on Saturday, no, actually tomorrow, I'm going to put an info video out tomorrow, just looking at Getter, how it's basically a huge wave, especially over since the last week, since Joe Rogan, since Robert Malone, who we've had on as a guest, since he joined Getter, went on Joe Rogan, talked about it, and then Joe Rogan joined on the Sunday. So I'll do a short info video tomorrow. And then on Saturday, Caroline Farrow is back with us from Citizen Go to do a news review on the week. So looking forward to catching up with Caroline and seeing how she is and discussing campaigns from Citizen Go, what their plans are for the year, and obviously her thoughts on news. So she'll be with us on Saturday. So I think on that, I'll wish our viewers good night. And those of you who are still on YouTube, well, Getter has long passed you, I can see. So Getter seems to be the place. Whether it's just having Gerard on, I don't know. But obviously, you've watched, and we will live stream on Getter on Saturday with Caroline Farrow, and Monday and Thursday. So anytime you can find us on Getter, you go on Getter at Hearts of Oak, and it's there on the top of the platform, on the top of the profile, and you can watch it all. So thank you to our viewers, and thank you to our listeners watching after on Podbean. Great to have you with us. And thank you to Gerard for being a wonderful guest and explaining a complex system, especially to our foreign viewers. So thank you, Gerard.
You're welcome. And thank you for everybody for watching. And what I would say, if we got 4,000 people on Getter, if any of you are not following Hearts of Oak, can you go and follow it? Because Pete has done a fantastic job. He gets really interesting people. I'm not killing me in that, but he's had Dr. Malone on here. He's had about 70-odd people on here in the last couple of years. He gets really interesting people. He works very hard. He does a fantastic job. And, of course, he had his numbers chopped out from YouTube. He had a lot more followers that suddenly were lost. So thank goodness for Getter that we've now got a free speech platform. Help Peter, go on there. Follow Peter on Hearts of Oak, and then watch out for future live streams when they will have even more interesting people than me.
Which even more interesting than Jared. I don't know if I agreed with everything up to that point. So I should have cut him off, muted his mic. But thank you, Jared, and thank you to our viewers and our listeners. I wish you a wonderful rest of your evening, and we'll see you on tomorrow, that info video, but on Saturday with Caroline Farrow. So thank you so much for watching, and good evening.
Goodbye, everybody.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.